Have you ever thought about what would happen if you just completely lost the keys to your most important data?
Like misplaced them?
Yeah, not just misplaced them, but gone, completely lost, no way to get them back.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of the terrifying reality that's facing some Amazon Web Services users right now, thanks to this new ransomware that's called Codefinger.
Yeah, it's a scary thought.
It is, and the thing is, it's not even like a vulnerability in AWS itself.
Right.
It's like how users are managing their own security.
Yeah, their own keys.
So today we're gonna dive deep into how this attack works, why it's like sending shockwaves through the cybersecurity world,
Oh, yeah, definitely.
and most importantly, what you can do to protect yourself.
Yeah, that's the big one, right?
Yeah.
So what's really unsettling about Codefinger is that it can make data recovery like virtually impossible.
Oh, wow.
And that's because it exploits a feature called server-side encryption with customer-provided keys,
Okay.
or SSEC for short.
Okay.
Think of it like this, AWS provides like this secure vault for your data,
Right.
right? But you hold the key.
Okay.
So if that key is compromised,
Yeah.
even AWS can't help you get back in.
Oh, wow. That's a really powerful analogy.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
It is, and it gets to the heart of why this is so different from other ransomware attacks.
Yeah.
It's not just about locking you out, it's about making your data vanish without a trace.
Right, like it's gone.
Yeah, poof.
Yeah.
So let's kind of break down how this attack actually unfolds.
Yeah.
What are the steps?
So it all starts with the hackers getting access to your AWS account
Okay.
by stealing your credentials.
Right, so they're basically breaking in.
Yeah, they're getting in however they can. And a lot of times they'll do this through phishing emails. Those are designed to trick you into giving over your login
Yeah,
information.
okay.
Or they might take advantage of weak or reused passwords.
So it's like basic cybersecurity hygiene is still like our first line of defense.
Oh, absolutely. Strong passwords,
Yeah.
two-factor authentication, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But Codefinger goes a step further.
Okay.
Once the attackers are in, they use your own encryption keys to scramble your data.
Oh, wow.
And they lock it up tight with AES 256 encryption through SSEC.
So they've got your data locked up with your keys.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, what?
Well, then comes the pressure.
Okay.
The attackers will set these lifecycle policies that automatically delete your files within 7 days.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a ticking time bomb
Yeah.
designed to force victims into a tough decision,
Yeah.
pay up or risk losing everything.
So it's like pay us or it's all gone.
Yeah,
And
basically.
then, of course, they leave behind a ransom note
Right, with
with
instructions.
instructions on how to pay.
Go
Okay,
ahead.
so it's a pretty chilling scenario.
Yeah, it is.
But before we get into the potential consequences and all of that, let's talk about Amazon's response to all of this.
Sure.
What have they said?
Well, AWS has been very clear about its commitment to security.
Okay.
They emphasize what they call the shared responsibility model,
Okay.
meaning, they provide the secure infrastructure.
Right.
But users are ultimately responsible for managing their own accounts and keys.
So they're not just washing their hands of the whole issue.
No, not at all.
Okay.
They are really urging users to follow best practices,
Okay.
like using phishing-resistant two-factor authentication, regularly rotating credentials, and really being careful about who has access to their cloud resources.
So it's like they're saying, we've given you the tools now, use them wisely.
Yeah, exactly. And they are offering some practical support, like quarantine policies for exposed keys
Right.
and, help if you suspect that your account has been compromised.
So they're saying, we're here to help, but you got to do your part.
Right, it's a partnership.
Okay, so we've got AWS doing their part, but it's clear that users need to step up their game too.
Absolutely.
And this brings up a question that I think a lot of people are asking.
Yeah.
Is this really a problem for everyday users,
Right.
or is this just like a headache for big companies?
That's a good question. And the truth is, anyone using cloud storage could be vulnerable.
Right.
I mean, think about all the things we store in the cloud:
Yeah.
photos, financial records, personal documents.
Everything.
Yeah, it's not just about businesses losing their data.
Right.
It's about individuals losing precious memories and vital information.
Right.
And Darren James from SpeakOps Software, he put it perfectly when he said, "This really underscores the importance of strong, unique passwords and two-factor authentication."
Okay, so it's like ignoring basic security practices is no longer an option.
Right.
You really got to do this stuff.
You got to be smart about it.
Okay, but what about the other side of the coin?
Okay.
What are the implications of actually paying the ransom?
Right.
Is it even legal?
Oh, things are getting interesting on that front.
Okay.
The UK government, for example, is considering outright bans on ransomware payments.
Oh, wow.
You know, their goal is to like cut off the financial incentive for these criminals.
Okay, so like on the surface, that sounds like a good idea.
Right.
But isn't that putting businesses in a really tough spot?
It is.
What if they're like facing the loss of their entire operation?
Exactly. That's where things get complicated.
Okay.
Outlawing payments raises some serious ethical and practical questions.
Like, are we essentially punishing the victims?
Yeah.
And like, are we indirectly funding criminal activity by giving in to these demands?
Exactly. There's a lot of debate about the right approach.
Okay.
Some argue that, you know, paying ransoms only encourages more attacks.
Right.
What about those businesses that just simply can't afford to lose their data?
Yeah.
Do they face financial ruin?
Right.
Closure?
Or worse.
Yeah, it's a tough call.
It is. So where do we go from here?
Right.
What are the experts saying about finding a better way to deal with this whole ransomware mess?
Yeah, well, there's definitely a push for a more balanced approach.
Okay.
Javad Malik from KnowBefore, he suggests that governments focus on helping organizations prevent, detect, and recover from ransomware attacks.
Okay.
Rather than just punishing them after the fact.
So it's more of a proactive approach.
Right.
Giving businesses like the tools and support that they need to avoid becoming victims in the first place.
Right. And Dr. Darren Williams from Black Fog, he points out that negotiating with criminals is fraught with risks.
Okay.
So he emphasizes the need for alternative recovery mechanisms.
That makes sense. Like, if we can find ways to recover data without paying ransoms, then we take away a lot of the criminals' power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Jamie Akhtar from CyberSmart adds that the focus should be on empowering businesses to adopt robust cybersecurity practices.
Okay.
So they don't feel backed into a corner where paying a ransom seems like their only option.
So it's like a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah.
Prevention support and like empowering businesses to take control of their own security.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like there's a lot to unpack here.
There is.
But before we dive deeper into that, let's take a moment to reflect on what all of this means for the listener.
Sure.
Like, why should they care?
Well, this situation with Codefinger is a stark reminder that the threat of ransomware is real and it's evolving.
Okay.
And it's not just about technical vulnerabilities anymore.
Right.
It's about exploiting human behavior and our reliance on increasingly complex digital systems.
Okay. So what does this mean for you, the listener, as you navigate the digital world?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's what we'll be exploring in the next part of our deep dive.
That's right.
We'll discuss practical steps you can take to protect yourself and your data. And we'll look at the bigger picture of what this all means for the future of cloud security.
Sounds good.
So stay with us. Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about Codefinger and, you know, the whole thing with ransomware payments.
Yeah, right. Those ethical dilemmas.
Yeah. And it's clear this isn't just like a tech issue. It's got those social and political and even philosophical angles to it.
Oh, definitely.
But let's bring it back down to you, the listener.
I bet to the practical.
Yeah. Like, what can we learn from this whole Codefinger attack to navigate our, you know, our digital lives, which are getting more and more digital every day?
Yeah. Like, Codefinger is a canary in the coal mine.
Oh, okay.
Showing us that these cyber criminals are getting more cunning.
Right.
They're not just hacking systems.
Right.
They're like hacking human behavior.
Right.
Exploiting our trust in convenient technology.
Right. So it's not enough to just like have the latest antivirus software anymore.
No, it's not.
You got to be smarter about how we use the cloud, right?
Exactly. This whole situation with SSEC highlights that crucial point.
Hmm.
You know, the weakest link in any security system is often us, the users.
Oh.
We need to take ownership of our digital security.
Okay, so let's get practical then.
Sure.
What are some concrete actions that listeners can take to protect themselves, like starting right now?
Okay, so first and foremost, let's talk passwords.
Okay, everyone's favorite topic.
Yeah, I know it's been said a million times.
Right.
But it's worth repeating, strong, unique passwords are absolutely essential.
Right.
And I'm not talking about just adding an exclamation point at the end of your pet's name.
Right. We need to think more like a bank vault combination.
Exactly.
Multiple digits, symbols, uppercase, lowercase, the whole nine yards.
Precisely. And don't forget about two-factor authentication.
Yes.
It's like having a security guard at the door of your digital accounts.
So even if someone like steals your password, they can't get in without that second layer of verification.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. That brings us to backups, another crucial piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Backups are your digital safety net.
Okay.
Regularly back up your most important data.
Okay.
And this is key. Store those backups offline.
Right.
That way, even if your cloud storage is compromised, you have a way to restore your data without paying the ransom.
It's like having an escape route planned, you know, in case of a fire.
Exactly.
Okay, strong passwords, two-factor authentication, and regular offline backups.
Got it.
You got it.
What else should we be thinking about?
Be mindful of access.
Okay.
Regularly review who has access to your cloud accounts.
Right.
And revoke any unnecessary permissions.
Okay.
It's like spring cleaning for your digital life.
Okay.
You know, clearing out the clutter and making sure only the essential folks have the keys to your kingdom.
Okay, so we've covered some essential, like, individual actions.
Right.
But what about the bigger picture?
Okay.
What does Codefinger tell us about the future of cloud securities, like, as a whole?
Well, this incident really highlights the need for a shift in our thinking.
Okay.
We can't just rely on technology to protect us.
Right.
We need to be more proactive and security conscious in how we design, deploy, and use cloud services.
So it's not just about building higher walls around our data.
No, it's not.
It's about, like, changing the way we think about security from the ground up.
Exactly. We need to move towards what's called a zero trust model.
Okay.
Where we assume that no user or device is inherently trustworthy.
So instead of just focusing on keeping bad guys out, we're also verifying everyone on the inside.
Precisely. This means implementing strong authentication and authorization mechanisms at every level. Continuously monitoring activity for anything suspicious.
Right.
And segmenting networks to limit the damage if a breach does occur.
So it's like a much more dynamic and adaptable approach to security.
Exactly.
Rather than just relying on, like, these static defenses that can be bypassed.
That's right. And this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
AI and machine learning are playing a crucial role in this shift towards a zero trust model.
AI always feels like this big buzzword, but how's it actually being used to make cloud security more robust?
Okay, so imagine an AI system that constantly analyzes vast amounts of data.
Okay.
Looking for subtle patterns and anomalies that might indicate malicious activity.
Right.
That's already happening.
Oh, wow. So instead of relying on humans to, like, sift through mountains of data.
Right, which is impossible.
Yeah, we can have AI do the heavy lifting, right, spotting threats that we might miss.
Exactly. And AI can also personalize security policies.
Okay.
Tailoring them to the specific needs and behaviors of individual users.
So it's about finding that sweet spot between strong security and, like, seamless user experience.
That's right. It's like having a security system that's always on, but you don't even notice it's there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we've got zero trust and AI. Any other, like, big trends on the horizon in cloud security that we should be keeping an eye on?
Well, another fascinating area is the use of blockchain technology.
Okay, now you might be thinking, isn't blockchain all about cryptocurrency?
Right. A lot of people think that.
Yeah, but it has huge potential for enhancing security and transparency in the cloud as well.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about how blockchain can help protect our data in the cloud.
Okay, so blockchain's decentralized and immutable nature makes it incredibly secure.
Okay.
Instead of storing data in a central location where it's vulnerable,
right,
we can distribute it across a network of nodes.
Okay.
Making it practically impossible for hackers to compromise.
So it's like having multiple backup copies of your data,
yeah,
spread out all over the place. So even if one copy is lost or corrupted, the others are still safe.
Exactly. And because blockchain transactions are permanently recorded and can be audited,
right,
it brings a whole new level of transparency and accountability to cloud environments.
So we can track who has access data, when, and for what purpose.
Precisely.
That's incredibly valuable, especially for businesses that need to comply with, you know, strict regulations.
Oh, absolutely. And blockchain can also be used to manage access to cloud resources.
Okay.
Providing a tamper-proof way to verify identities and permissions.
So it's like a digital ledger that keeps track of every interaction,
right,
making it much harder for bad actors to slip through the cracks.
Exactly.
Okay, blockchain, AI, zero trust. It sounds like the future of cloud security is going to be a wild ride.
Oh, it definitely is.
But amidst all this innovation, we can't forget the human element.
That's right. Even with the most advanced technology, we're still susceptible to social engineering tactics like phishing scams.
So how do we stay ahead of these ever-evolving threats? It feels like a constant game of cat and mouse.
It is. And it's crucial to foster a culture of security awareness.
Right.
You know, we need to educate ourselves and our teams about the latest scams and best practices for protecting our digital lives.
It's about being proactive, staying informed, and not being afraid to ask questions.
Exactly. And it's about demanding more transparency from cloud providers about their security practices and how they handle incidents like Codefinger.
Right. The users, we have a voice and we need to use it to hold these companies accountable for protecting our data.
Absolutely.
But let's not end on a note of fear.
No, we don't want to do that.
The good news is that there's a lot we can do to take control of our own security.
Right.
And as we've discussed, there are some amazing technological advancements that can help us stay ahead of the curve.
Definitely.
This is a great segue to our next discussion.
Okay.
What role does government play in this whole ransomware landscape? Mm-hmm. We were touching on this earlier with the UK's potential ban on ransomware payments.
Uh-huh.
Let's delve into that a bit deeper.
Sure. So while the goal of deterring cybercrime is admirable, many experts argue that simply outlawing payments might not be the most effective solution.
It feels like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
Yeah.
It might stop the bleeding temporarily, but it doesn't address the root cause of the problem.
Exactly. And it could have unintended consequences.
Like what?
Imagine a small business that gets hit with a ransomware attack.
Yeah.
And they can't afford to lose their data.
Right.
If they're legally prohibited from paying the ransom, they might be forced to shut down.
Oh, wow. So it's a complex issue with no easy answers.
It really is.
What are some alternative approaches that governments are considering?
Well, many experts advocate for a multifaceted approach.
Okay.
That combines deterrence with support for victims and a strong focus on prevention and education.
Okay, let's break that down a bit. What would that look like in practice?
Okay, so it could involve things like investing in cybersecurity infrastructure.
Okay.
Providing financial and technical assistance to victims of ransomware attacks.
Right.
And promoting cybersecurity awareness and education.
Okay. Investing in cybersecurity infrastructure sounds like a no-brainer, but
yeah.
What does that actually entail?
So it means allocating resources to research and develop new security technologies.
Okay.
Strengthening existing infrastructure to make it more resilient to attacks.
Right.
And fostering collaboration between governments and the private sector to share information and best practices.
So it's about building a stronger foundation for cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Both defensively and offensively.
Exactly. And then there's the critical aspect of supporting victims.
Okay.
Many businesses, especially smaller ones, simply can't afford the cost of recovering from a ransomware attack on their own.
Right.
Governments can play a crucial role in providing financial assistance for data recovery.
Okay.
System restoration, and even legal and PR support.
So it's about giving them a fighting chance to recover and rebuild.
Right.
Without giving in to the demands of criminals.
Precisely. And finally, we can't underestimate the importance of education. We need to equip individuals and organizations with the knowledge and skills to protect themselves in the digital world.
It's about empowering people to make informed decisions about their online security.
Right.
Recognize phishing scams and adopt good password hygiene.
Exactly. It's a long-term investment in a safer digital future for everyone.
Well said. We're going to take a quick break to gather our thoughts. When we come back, we'll wrap up our deep dive into Codefinger and leave you with some final thoughts on how to navigate the exciting and sometimes treacherous waters of the digital age. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've covered a lot, you know, from the technical stuff about Codefinger to the bigger picture of what this means for cloud security.
That's a lot to take in.
Yeah. So now let's try to like distill it down to something you can use.
Right.
Think of it as like your cybersecurity survival guide.
Or your toolkit.
Yeah. For the digital age.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've talked about these like complex concepts, but it really boils down to a few key principles.
Yeah.
And the first one is awareness.
Oh, that's huge.
Right. You got to understand like the threats out there, how they work, how they can impact you.
Right. If you don't know about it, you can't protect yourself against it.
Exactly. Knowledge is power, right? The more you
right.
know about the risks, the better you are at protecting yourself.
100%.
So let's recap some of those like essential takeaways that we talked about. Like what are the things that people should really be doing?
Okay. So strong, unique passwords.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like a broken record.
Yeah.
But it's the foundation.
Right. It all starts there.
It does. And whenever possible,
yeah.
enable two-factor authentication.
Right.
Add that extra layer of security. It's like adding a deadbolt to your digital front door.
And just like you wouldn't leave valuables lying around in an unlocked house, you know, don't neglect backups.
Oh, backups are crucial.
Right. Regularly back up your important data. And this is key. Store those backups offline.
Right. Offline is key.
Yeah. So that way, if you ever face a ransomware attack or just lose your data, somehow you have a way to recover without giving in to those demands.
Right. It's like having an insurance policy for your digital life.
Exactly. And while we're on the topic of like protecting your assets.
Yeah.
Regularly review who has access to your cloud accounts and your resources.
Right.
Revoke any unnecessary permissions. It's like spring cleaning your digital life.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, just like decluttering, making sure only the right people have the keys to your kingdom.
Right, the essential folks.
Yeah, exactly. And then don't underestimate the power of education.
Oh, huge.
Learn about the latest phishing scams and social engineering tactics.
Right.
Share this knowledge with your family, friends, colleagues.
Right. We're all in this together.
Yeah, we are.
The more we know, the better we can protect ourselves and each other.
So if you take away just one thing from this deep dive,
yeah,
let it be this, be proactive.
Be proactive. That's it.
Don't wait till something bad happens, you know, before you start thinking about security. Take those steps today to strengthen your digital defenses, change those passwords, enable two-factor authentication, set up those backups, and just educate yourself about the latest threats.
Yeah, great advice.
And remember, you're not alone in this journey. You know, there are resources available to help you.
Like Technigian?
Exactly. You know, they're experts in providing those tailored cybersecurity solutions.
Yeah, they can really help.
So don't hesitate to reach out for help if you need it.
Definitely.
So this whole incident with Codefinger, it's really been a wake-up call.
It has.
It reminds us that the threat landscape is constantly evolving.
Right. It never stays the same.
But so are the solutions.
That's the good news.
Yeah. The key is to stay informed, adapt, and never stop learning.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this thought. The digital world offers so much.
It does.
So many opportunities for connection, innovation, growth.
Right. It's amazing.
But it also comes with risks.
It does.
By understanding those risks and taking those proactive steps to mitigate them, we can really harness the power of technology while also safeguarding ourselves and the things we value most.
Absolutely. Well said.
So thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you found it insightful and empowering. Until next time, stay curious, stay safe, and keep exploring.